Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. Readings are on the back of our bulletin. Propers are on the inside page. Outline for our service is here. And we pray, again, that God will bless us as we hear His word. Having some microphone issues here. We'll figure that out during our opening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you shower down upon us. We thank you for the gift of Jesus. We thank you for his perfect life, his obedient death, and his glorious resurrection. Heavenly Father, bless us with humility, knowing that our Lord and Savior Jesus chose us. Bless us with humble hearts in true faith to align our hearts, our minds, our wills, and our choices with you and your word. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to give us life and life to the full. Amen. Hymn 406.
Service setting one, page 151, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time we sing together the introit as it's printed for us in the inside of our bulletin.
The ruler has come, and
the kingdom and the power and the glory are in his hand. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your
pray. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Make all who are baptized in his name faithful in their calling as your children and inheritors with him of everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the baptism of our Lord is from Joshua chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it." The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the ark had come as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the brink of the water, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest, the waters coming down from above stood up and rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down toward the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priests, bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord, stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual printed on the bottom of your bulletin. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our sermon hymn number 404, Jesus Once with Sinners Numbered, number 404.
God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning as we observe and commemorate the baptism of our Lord, our epistle reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31, especially these words: "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, choices. Choices. They are before us every day. They're before us every hour. They're before us every minute of every hour of every day. Pretty much everything we do in life is a choice, right? We decide what to wear. We decide what to eat. We decide what to drink. We decide where to go. We decide how we're going to think, what we're going to say. Choices are before us all the time. Sometimes we make good choices. Sometimes we don't. But choices are before us all the time. So, what are we going to do about all the choices that we have? Well, when we make good choices, how do we react? What do? Well, you would not believe the restaurant I ate at. I made a really good choice. You would not believe the car mileage that I get out of my new car. I made a really good choice. You would not believe the politician I voted for. He or she is doing great. Boy, I really made a great choice. Isn't that how it works? We can't wait to pat ourselves on the back because of all the great choices that we've made. Well, what about when we don't make a good choice? If we get to the point where we would actually admit that we made a bad choice, a poor choice, a sinful choice, isn't it much easier to blame somebody else for the choices we ourselves have made? We decide to get out of bed a little bit late. We decide to speed down the road when somebody in front of us is going a little bit slower than we like. We decide that it is their fault that they are going so slow. Such is the way a life of choices works. Your alarm clock goes off in the morning. You have a choice. Going to get out of bed or you're going to hit snooze? 5 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour and a half, shut the alarm off and forget about responsibilities. We all have choices that we make. You're driving down the road and the light turns yellow. This brings out the best and the worst in all of us, doesn't it? The light turns yellow. You have a choice. Are you going to speed up and make it? Or are you going to follow the law and slow down and stop? Full well knowing that the car behind you might be trying to make it too. There are consequences to our choices. You're gathered around in a group of people. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at church, maybe it's at the family Thanksgiving dinner. And all of a sudden, the discussion that started out pretty tame turns into sinful gossip. You've got a choice. Are you going to participate? Are you going to keep silent? Are you going to protest and stand up for the good name and reputation of the person being dragged through the mud? We all have choices to make, and our choices have consequences. In our world today, when you hear the word choice, it almost always means one thing: the choice to have an abortion. That's what the word choice means. So you're pro-choice. Nobody's really anti-choice, are they? Pro-life. Nobody asks where that decision comes from, where that choice comes from, or how that choice is formed. Lines are drawn, politics are blamed, and the Word of God often is nowhere to be found in the discussion. In the church, choice is almost always talked about with regard to how a Christian comes to faith. On this day, when we remember and commemorate the baptism of our Lord, our hymns, our focus of our service is on God's gift of holy baptism. But there are many Christians in our world who really don't believe what God's Word says with regard to this gift. How does one become a Christian? Many people would say, you have to choose. You have to decide. You have to ask Jesus into your heart. You need to pray the sinner's prayer or some other act to show how contrite you are. Bottom line is, it's up to you. You have to decide if you are going to be a Christian. And then baptism becomes some mark of obedience rather than the life-giving, life-changing, regenerating waters of holy baptism, the power of God's Word connected to simple water. My friends, choices are before us all the time. Our choices have consequences, and even the word choice or choose gets twisted out of shape. So what's a Christian to do? How are we to know? First of all, with regard to how one becomes a Christian, and second of all, how are we to know what choices are good and God-pleasing? We turn to God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, an amazing chapter in Scripture. It's really hard to take a section out of this chapter apart from everything that is there in its context. We have before us verses 26 through 31. Consider your calling, brothers. Consider your vocation, how you were called. But even more than that, consider your status when you were called to faith. Seems like kind of an odd way to start a paragraph or a text or a pericope. This is really a continuation of this whole wisdom foolishness talk that the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul started several verses earlier. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning at verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly, foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This whole discussion is about the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's really shorthand. We're not talking just about the cross, but we're talking about everything that Jesus is and everything that Jesus has done. Jesus, true God and true man, all in the same person. Jesus, born into this world to save sinners like you and me. Jesus, living a perfect life, fulfilling all righteousness. Jesus, paying the penalty for sin, your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world. Jesus, going to the cross, dying our death. Jesus, stone cold dead, rising from the dead 3 days later. Jesus, winning forgiveness, life, and salvation for the whole world. This is foolishness. This is folly. Did you know that on social media, the American Atheist Society has a Facebook page and a Twitter account? Shouldn't surprise us. Earlier this week, they tweeted out a simple statement. It is scientifically impossible for someone to come back to life after they have been dead for 3 days. I read that and my first thought was, well, duh. That's the whole point. It's not scientifically possible. It is a miracle. It is a miracle of God that God would raise Jesus from the dead. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. My friends, the message of Christianity, the message of God's word is sheer foolishness to the world. The message of the cross is foolishness. Paul goes on right before our text. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Okay, so now not only is Jesus and his work foolishness, preaching is foolishness. Words proclaimed. The world would say, they're just words. God's word says, the word of God, read, taught, preached, is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Jesus, his person and work, foolishness to the world. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, foolishness to the world. And then right before our text, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The gospel is foolish. Jesus is foolish. Preaching is foolish. Let's be honest. The whole notion of there even being a God is foolishness to the world. So, fellow fools, this brings us to our text. Consider yourself. Consider yourself. You know where this is going, don't you? If Christ and his work is foolishness to the world, if the cross of Jesus Christ, the gospel and its proclamation is foolishness to the world, if God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons in one God, is foolishness to the world. Consider yourself. What does the world think of you? We're fools, aren't we? We're fools in the eyes of the world. And God here is teaching us. It's okay. It's okay. God chose you. That's right. You didn't choose him. You couldn't. Lost and dead in the trespasses of your sin. God chose you. And who are you? Consider your calling. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world. You! To shame the wise, the wisdom of the world. God chose what is weak in the world. That's you. To shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Do you understand what God is saying here through Paul? There is nothing about us, our wisdom, our strength, our status. There is nothing about us that caused God to choose us. Isn't that a good thing? If it had anything to do with us, would we give glory to God for His great love? No! We'd be too busy patting ourselves on the back for all the great choices we've made, right? God, in His love, chose poor, miserable sinners like you and me. Weak, lost in the trespasses of our sins. Foolishly making choice after choice that hurts us, that hurts others, that is contrary to God's word. The world looks at us and we are nothing. And what does God do? Out of things that are nothing, that the world doesn't even know or care if we exist, He gives us life. Real life. True life. He chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you in the waters of holy baptism, delivering Good Friday and Easter to you at the baptismal font. He chose you and deposited in you forgiveness, life, and salvation. The Holy Spirit dwelling in you right here and right now by grace through faith. My friends, verse 30 says, He, God, is the source of your life in Christ Jesus. He chose you. He's the source of your life. And what does this mean for poor, miserable sinners who have been chosen by God and given life in His name? It means God made our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and redemption. God has given you all these things. You are redeemed, not with gold or silver, with the holy precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are sanctified. You are holy, washed and made clean in the waters of holy baptism, declared holy by the holy precious blood of Jesus. You are righteous as you are in Christ Jesus. God has declared you. You are my son. You are my daughter. You are the one that I love. God has declared you righteous because of the righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And God, who is true wisdom, fills you with wisdom. That's right. Fills you with wisdom. What good is that? Every day, every hour, every minute, choices are before us. God gives us His wisdom, His word, so that we can make good choices. Choices that are according to the Word of God, that are according to the Ten Commandments, that love and serve our neighbor rather than tear down. Choices that lift up and encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ in the church rather than focusing on that unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. Wisdom, so that the Word of God would go forth to the four corners of the world, so that people would hear and be converted and believe that there is forgiveness, life, and salvation in and only in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for sinners like us. God's Word, Romans 7, specifically talks about how hard it is for a Christian to make good choices. The Apostle Paul says, "Oh, the good that I know I should do, I don't do it. Oh, the evil that I know I shouldn't do, I keep right on doing it." Maybe like me, you struggle with making good choices, God-pleasing choices, choices according to the Word of God. Paul goes on to say, "Who can save this wretch?" Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is your salvation. He is your redemption. He is your sanctification. He is your wisdom. And He fills you right now. What does such baptizing with water signify? It signifies that the old Adam in us should daily die by contrition and repentance, and daily come forth a new creation, ready to love God and serve our neighbor. My friends, God chose you. Rejoice. God washed you clean. Rejoice. God fills you with His wisdom. Rejoice. And in that rejoicing, let us return to the baptismal font daily, dying to our sin and passion and evil lust, our selfishness, our sinful desires, and come forth a new creation. And by the grace of God and His wisdom, a new Christian who makes good choices. May God bless us and encourage us to that end. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our choices in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, we are bold now to confess our faith. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We continue with the prayer of the church. In addition to those prayer requests, listener bulletin, we also pray for Linda Maylock dealing with some health issues. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs, responding, Lord, have mercy. For the faithful proclamation of Christ's saving name, that God's people may be strengthened in the true faith and his kingdom extended, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church throughout the world and for all who confess the name of Christ, that God would guard and defend us from the temptations of the devil and the world and our own sinful nature, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, its mission and its people, for the ability to meet the needs that arise as we do the work God has given us to do, and for the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the educational institutions of our synod, our preschools, day schools, high schools, colleges, universities, and seminaries, and for all those who teach and learn within them, that they would be transformed by the wisdom of Christ revealed in his word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who partake this day of Christ's holy body and blood, that in their eating and drinking they may receive the benefits of forgiveness of sins and the renewal of life, and have a foretaste of the feast to come, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who have wandered from the faith, that the Holy Spirit would use us to call them home to the Father, especially for our non-attending members, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our government and all who have been set into positions of leadership, that they may use the authority entrusted to them honorably and for the good of the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of those who suffer from hunger, homelessness, poverty, or unemployment, that God's great mercy and love would preserve and relieve them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all of the faithful, that the Spirit would lead them to cheerful, generous giving from the bounty the Lord provides to support the church and to help those in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those who are sick, especially those in our own midst, including Linda, Ardith, Dorothy, Irma, Ernest, LaVon, Jan, Joe, Alvin, Tom, Diana, Barb, Evelette, and all others whom we name in our hearts, that God would grant them healing to their bodies and strength to bear their infirmities with patience and grace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who mourn the loss of loved ones, including the family of Leslie, the family of Verna, and the family of Lois, that in their time of sorrow they would not lose hope, but rely on God's promise that he will never leave them nor forsake them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for those who rejoice in the rich blessings of God, that they may always remember the giver of every gift and give him heartfelt thanks, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Welcome in the name of Jesus, fulfills all righteousness for you. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news that God has chosen you and given you his Son would be your peace, your joy, and your life today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Please stand as we sing the offertory, page 159.
I will.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Mercy on us.
Christ, you are the Lord.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand as God continues his divine service as we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is hymn number 394. 394. You may be seated. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, go get some goodies. We'll be back in here in about 5 minutes or so for our Sunday school opening. Running just a little bit late this morning. Thank you. All right, you're all invited to join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. Two opportunities for adult Bible study. We'll continue our look at Romans chapter 5 in the fellowship hall. Summary of Christian doctrine is in room 109. What are we studying today, Pastor?
Baptism.
Baptism. Wow, that worked out really well, didn't it? Okay.
That's why they pay me the big bucks.
That's right. That's right. We have new Higher Things devotionals, portals of prayer. Check those out. You're free. Use those for your personal or family devotions. We've got a couple of sign-up sheets out on the table. A lot of activities that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. Check out the news and notes for the details on that. Two sign-up sheets. First of all, next Sunday is the big soup cook-off contest here. So if you want to make a soup, if you want to help with setup or cleanup, there's a sign-up sheet there. You're all invited to come and eat soup and mourn the Saints' loss last week. There's no reason to not eat soup because there is no football until next year. So I'm sorry, Packer fan. Yeah. All right. Mourn with me. Mourn with me. All right. So, and also we have the big fundraiser coming up, Pancakes for Pecan, Pediatric Cancer Action Network. It is a great organization, and it's a great privilege for us to be able to help with their fundraising activities and stuff. Also, throughout the month of January, there are a lot of sanctity of human life emphases that are coming. We'll have some booklets that we'll be handing out here at the end of the service. And the first Sunday in February, we'll be celebrating Sanctity of Human Life Sunday here at Good Shepherd. Whew. Pastor, anything else?
Choir begins on Wednesday, again with the choir of the farewell meal for the Gottwald family and Mary, and then the next week begins singing and practicing their music for the next few months.
Okay, awesome. All right. Hi, Vicar. Have a great day and week and life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join us for coffee, goodies, and a study of God's Word.